Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of AUP Radio on WRP. Today, we're going to hear one beautifully put episode of World of Intimacy with Isabel, with me as a special guest. I hope you enjoy the show.
Listening to WRP. Moreover, you're listening to The World of Intimacy with your host, Isabel Armstrong. That would be me. Yes. I hope you have, as to ease any confusion that might have aroused. aroused. Anyway, he aroused, get it? Because it's a show about sex and stuff. Ha, 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 ha. So this other looming voice I have next to me is one... is one Corey. Hi, Corey. How you doing?
Hi, Isabel.
Thanks for coming on. So today we have a very casual, fun little... I've done a lot of interviews the past few weeks, and today we're just going to sit and shoot the shit, as they say. We have many, many thoughts about identity, love, culture, self-understanding, healing, and yada, yada, yada. So... without further ado, let's get into it.
I'm doing a little...
We're doing a little...
Get into it dance.
Every time we're talking, our listeners have to imagine all the hand gestures are going on.
Oh, so many.
You don't even understand.
Every point has like its own story with our hands.
Choreography, okay, is occurring
honestly,
in the booth.
We are dancers, if you didn't know.
If you didn't know, we are actually on a dance crew called... We have a name.
That's so sad. It's okay.
We will be well
in the works.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out Yazzie. We have to create a name. Anyway. So this week I was thinking a lot about love across cultures and kind of love and understanding. Right. So a little background. My parents are. They come from different backgrounds. My father is from Minnesota. And my mother is from a small town in Northern Europe. And so there's a lot of love there, as you guys heard on last week's episode. There's a lot of love there. But I think sometimes intellectually and comedically, like in with the brain aspect is sometimes out of sync. They have completely different senses of humor. They have different language understanding, obviously. They have different, you know, there's just different cultural... and background understandings, and I've seen them overcome that. But I also, in my personal life, I have so many people who are madly in love, and I find that they end up having certain similarities, right? Like I have two friends, and they both speak Russian and grew up speaking Chinese. Like there's just so they have like really like a close language understanding. Or even the times I've fallen in love, there's been a sort of like. Oh, you get me. Either when I,
yeah,
right?
No, yeah. Same with my like, S.O. Everything is cringy.
Every
single thing is cringy.
I was thinking about that too.
Ew,
there's no
take that back. I take my guy, my person,
your person,
anyway,
that
my person,
the best one. Or sweetheart.
My oh,
It's like I don't know if I actually, like it or not, but I kind of
my sweetheart.
It makes me feel like a
that
grandma.
That is cute. I know.
But yeah, continue.
But yeah, we, as well, I think I've gone through, like, very significant changes in, like, different points in time, and he was there before any of those, like, huge fundamental changes happened. And I feel like that anchored me for a weird way. Like, it's like I knew you through so many, and, like, you're still here, so that I know you're real in that way. You know what I mean? Like, I think that goes into, like, some of my own sort of, I don't want to say insecurities, but like trust issues, I guess, which is an insecurity. Just like when you meet people for the first time, it's like, do you like me for this reason or this reason? Yeah. Like, is it like, why? Like, what is the reason behind that? So to know that he was here before I even knew myself, before I even like formed an identity in the way that I have it now, there is some like, okay, at least like, there's trust in that way, you know.
There's
what I mean?
Comfort in how well he knows you.
Exactly.
Yeah, I have that too with a person who like is my best friend, and we've known each other since childhood, and I think I really appreciate that because I can recall past versions of Isabel.
Yeah. Exactly.
And be like understood in that, which is so comforting. Whereas, I mean, and I've formed really close bonds with people in college or in the last year where, they don't know all those past versions of me, or they don't know. Yeah, I will just get this moment where this happened a few weeks ago and I was like out and about at night and I was like, woo. And I wrote this in my notes app and I woke up the next day and I saw it and it was like, unfortunately, the human lived experience is so individual. I don't necessarily even, I think, want it to be sometimes, but, like, my best friend in Paris does not know my hometown in Italy, and she never met my grandma. And my hometown best friend doesn't know most of my college best friends. And you have never been to my dad's sister's house in New Jersey, and that's like a huge part of my little childhood, and so I can tell you about it and I can become close friends with you, but there's like inexplainables in my brain, which is so weird.
Okay, I will counter that really like in a sided slanted way, because I think that's what like makes it beautiful. That's what I guess adds a sort of, we've all been through so many various individual things, but the fact that you, I think one, it's the feeling that you take from that, that can be spread like to anyone. And I think like if you feel something, it's able to be translated through like that feeling of like, this made me like me being at my dad's sister's house in New Jersey.
My aunt's house. Jeez.
Oh yeah.
I'm like trying to complicate it for you. It's like a riddle. It's like Rumpelstiltskin. Like my sister's newborn ship by the sea. Like what the fuck? Anyway, continue. Yeah. So yeah, I can communicate that to you in feeling.
Right. Like whatever. Because I think as humans, like it's all these like random experiences and blah 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 blahs, but I think we all have like innate and natural and like common ways of feeling those things. And I think that's what like ties like a relationship of any sort together. Like it's, if I'm able to like understand you in this way, and we'll get there together through like a very like you being there, and that comfort you felt might remind me of like my grandma's house and like I don't know, a random point of time, you know. Like I think that's when, because for me honestly I think language is kind of the, I don't want to sway this a little too off, but I think language is kind of the least important form of communication.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, like I think you can feel when someone feels something towards something. Mm. Yeah.
And it's beyond language.
Right, right. But I do know that the way that you're able to formulate your words really helps.
Yeah,
So school is kind of good, has been...
Education, we approve education.
We approve
on
it,
this show.
But
sometimes,
I mean, it's cool.
We tolerate it,
right? Yeah.
You know? No, I see your point. This is actually making me go back on what I think I started with. On your point of language, I think I agree, and I think it's like half and half, right? It's like there are some incommunicables that prove that it we can't just rely on language, and then there are some... It depends, right? Because right. So like, language can affect how we think and how we feel and how we frame things.
What is our humor and like what... Yeah,
right.
Yeah, no, that's
true. But at the same time, there's been moments where I've, for various reasons, have not been able to communicate like purely linguistically with someone. And there's still power and emotion and vulnerability, and that's beautiful. But you're bringing something up, though, with your like how... Like back to the individual experience thing. Mm-hmm. What you just said, it's true that... Maybe that's the whole point is because we're all we all have grandma houses and like random specific memories and specific experiences that only we've been through. In a way, maybe it doesn't matter how much cultural background you have in common, because even if you both grew up in the same hometown, you're still going to have certain differences.
Right.
Like that's the people that I've like been in love with, who I mentioned earlier as like, oh, but maybe the reason that was the case was because of our cultural similarities. I'm now also thinking, yeah, but there is a lot of differences, right? We had one in common, and we had like 30 gazillion not in common that we told each other openly about and explored together. And as you said, I communicated my emotions and experiences. And the fact that I was listened to, that's what fostered the love.
It was reciprocated. It was like a wheel of like truths in our own sort of like communicating.
Yeah, I don't want to date.
That's like
a
free flowing sort of thing. Sorry.
No. Sorry. Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that. Yeah, that free flow. I mean, like, I don't want to date a clone of myself.
Right.
It's the fact that they're different, and we have to go through the process of communicating those differences. That's.
And on that note, I think it might be. Just because we've met those people before, that was the, like, I think the older we get, the harder, like, people, we were speaking about this off the air, but just kind of people take on baggage and insecurities and sort of like things that they don't let become free flowing information, and they stick that to themselves, and then they form an identity through that, or they have the possibility of doing that. And I think when you're a child, that's not even a thing. Like, you talk to people so freely, so openly, so... And so a lot of our closest connections are some of our... Like, it's able to be that because we have had those truths and those sort of vulnerable moments without even knowing they were vulnerable. It's like, you knew me before I had all of this, like, stuff on my back that I won't get rid of right now. You know what I mean? And I've formed... I've formed connections. Isabel, you are one of those connections that it's like I feel like a child, like just in the way that I'm able to like fully have my truth out, you know, like people that don't. And I think it's easier with people that recognize their own faults. Some people like try to project everything that's ever wrong with them outwardly so that they're like big and bad and bold, and they don't care about like they separate the human humanness
almost.
From themselves. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think those things are what like we're also talking about, just kind of like certain human traits that like make us, like we all have mistakes. We all have like, it's what you do with them. You know what I mean? And I think some people put them on them. And, like, that makes pride and ego, and it's like, I can't even reach you. I can't even, there's a wall. Like, there's no sort of communication that's ever going to be able to, you won't understand me, because I can't get into you.
Yeah,
because
you're not there.
Right.
Yeah, you're not seeing me, because you're not even able to see yourself, maybe, right? That's, no, that's so true. Because I've been thinking about that a lot, of, like, I have friends who... A lot of their, in me too, you will continue to carry these close childhood or adolescent connections with you forward. And I talk to my adult, like adults in my life, or like parents will be like, yeah, as you get older, it gets really hard to make friends. And a lot of adults are lonely. And that's why maybe we have this kind of setup, the nuclear family setup, where people rely so much on their significant other.
To be honest.
For everything. Yeah. And there's no more close friendships. There's just like, oh, you also have kids at this school. Let's go to the PTA together or whatever.
And then it's like fake friendships, fake like life.
Which is so scary to me. That's another story.
Yeah.
But yes, you're mentioning, like, it's so true. But when we were kids, we didn't have all of that yet. As you said, people hadn't put on, they hadn't distanced themselves from their humanity, as you said. They hadn't, like, put on that big, bad show of their ego and their insecurities. Mm-hmm. They hadn't. Yeah, when we were young, we were still free. We were still open and exploring.
Right.
And we made connections. And then, yeah, those are the ones that stick. And maybe the reason, I mean, you and I remember, like, one of our conversations that made me feel, like, really connected to you was when we talked about our childhood selves.
Right.
And talked about the shame and fear that our childhood selves had been through and kind of, like, I don't know, not mourned, but, like, reflected felt for them. Right. For our little
freeing versions. That little girl.
Yeah.
That little child. Yeah.
And doing that together was, like, a new version of that. Right. Of, like, okay, we're going to be... Yeah, free and vulnerable. Right. We're going to see each other, you know?
Exactly. Like, really see each other. And yeah. I think, and so many people are so scared. Like, it's so scary. It's like all of us are holding our, like, so heavy. Like, heavy, heavy, heavy. Let me paint a picture. You're holding, like, bricks in, like, a bag. Mm-hmm. And, like, talking to people and it being, like, a missed sort of form. This is the way I see life right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a conversation with someone. And it's so, like, surface leveled, or I haven't gone anywhere with you. That is me just, like, piling, like, one more brick on there. Or, like, it's me not letting go of any of them, at least. And I'm not saying, like, everyone should just trauma dump on everyone they meet. And that should be the way we have conversations. But I think to just be, like, real with yourself. Like, even how you're feeling in a specific day, or, like, what you're just be in tune with, like, how you are in that moment, because I think a lot of people just, like, think they have to be a certain way, and then I don't know, relationships of all sorts, like, are compromised through that, you know?
Yeah, that's a very good point. I think I have that too, where when I have those moments, it'll also, especially in passing with, like, acquaintances, and you'll just have this, like, this awkwardness of, like, you know, and as you said, I don't want to trauma dump on others, and I don't think others have to trauma dump on me. I don't even think it's about sharing your baggage. I think that comes in different contexts. Mm-hmm. But as you said, being real and honoring, like, your truth and attempting to listen and, like, see, I think that's, we're not doing a lot of that. Mm-hmm. I had this really interesting experience Saturday. I'm training to become an SOS helpline listener. Cool. So there's an English-speaking hotline, for mental health crises. And I'm doing the training. And there was two, like, major takeaways. So one is, obviously, we're doing all this, like, workshop stuff on listening. And, like, really, like, what is listening? And
important.
Right? Yeah. And I think I realized, like, I might not actually be the most amazing listener because, like... When someone else is talking, are you either A, like, projecting your own fears or insecurities, or, like, misinterpreting what they're saying based on, like, almost, like, through the lens of your own shit, right? Rather than just, like, listening? Or also are you, like, waiting for your opportunity to talk, both of which are not, like, true active listening? And then it was also very humbling because we did these role-playing situations. And, of course, I went into it being, like, I'm raising my eyebrow, by the way, for those who don't know. I'm a psych major. I have a podcast. Oh. I'm studying to become a marriage and family therapist. I'm set, you know. Right. I, like, many friends have called me their therapist friends. I'm going to be so amazing. And then I went in and I bombed a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. I thought too hard rather than, like, just being in the moment and listening. And I... tried to problem solve rather than truly completely listen and hold the person's pain. Mm. And I got a lot of really good feedback, but it was, like, beautifully humbling. Yeah. Of, like, oh, even I, someone who is constantly saying exactly what you're saying, like, I just want to see people and be seen. I just want us to stop, like, thinking in shoulds and instead thinkings in, like, I don't know, wants what or is. Needs. Or or what is, right? Like, I just... again, like, I'm so tired of my own ego and I'm so tired of my own projections.
Yeah. And honestly, you know, I think everyone is too. Like, I think just people want to be called out. Like, it's just, and then the people at the very top with the highest, biggest egos and the most obnoxious individuals, like, they just haven't been called out for so long. Like, for so long. So they're
where
just
they're,
like,
hardened. Yeah. Because it's habits, right?
Right.
What it is like, like, if we wanted to make these changes, you just need to, like, it's like learning a new skill, I think.
Yeah.
And they've been doing what they've been doing, like, for so long.
Exactly. So just, like, and then I think certain people in certain roles, it's like, oh, I'm, like, because I'm in this role, like, I could act this way and I can be like, this is just, you know, and then that furthers, right? You know, and then people under, or I hate, no one's under or over anyone.
Okay, ooh, I mean, all, maybe.
I mean, oh, yeah. This is world women.
Yeah. But no, yeah.
People. In a loving way, okay? Yeah,
you can be under anyone as long as it's consensual. But no, in a social hierarchy. Yeah, for those who are like, I guess.
Exactly. And like just ego driven and on a huge power trip that they haven't like just been called back down to earth and like realize that you are not perfect. None of us are. And that's what makes all of us perfect. You know,
literally.
What I mean?
You are listening to World of Intimacy on WRP AUP Radio. Stay tuned for the show after this break.
And we are back with the show. To bring us a little back, the whole thing of like baggage and like a free-flowing thing, I got that from Ram Dass, actually. It's not my own words.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm not. Listen, we all learn from somewhere.
Despite popular belief, Corey did not come out of the womb just like a sage.
Right.
Okay, it's taken.
I
She's
do my
trained
research.
To get here. Yeah. I can imagine you just, wah. I think that we should all love one another.
No, this is super off topic, but I had a, oh my gosh. This is going to like release all credibility.
I don't care.
Oh,
I want to hear this. No, I have to hear this.
Okay, I had like this conversation with this baby. Like through our eyes today.
That's amazing.
In the metro.
That's beautiful.
No, genuinely. And like,
what did he say with his
she
eye?
Was like, oh, crying. She yeah, she was like, just kept looking at me, like staring literally into my soul. And we were talking, and I was like literally in my head, and I was like, I know you get what I'm saying right now. No, literally, it was one of those
like,
things.
Baby.
And she started like making noises, and her mom was trying to like, and she was like looking at me the whole time. And she was, like, talk to me like it was literally
that's
like,
amazing
yeah so that
that's
happened.
Beautiful
yeah no I love babies
are amazing. I love their eyes
they're
because
so free
they're so free and I love their eyes because they're looking around them and they're like their brain is going insane because they've they're learning everything
observant.
Is new
yeah
so they're just looking at everything and they're literally like process like they're like everything is new. Like that water bottle, that's the first water bottle that they've ever seen. So holy, okay, that's that. And then, oh, my, you know.
Right.
Just,
and
that was
I think.
A great sentence. Right.
I feel like all our, or a lot of your episodes like stem out of like awareness and just a general awareness. And babies are like, all they could be is aware. So it's like, I am.
That's so
here with
good.
My, and animals too, like dogs and cats. Like they're so aware because it's like, I'm not talking. I'm listening. I'm like hearing. I'm like. Touching, tactile reception, you know?
My dad used to always say that when he would feed the cat. He'd be like, Bizu is the best Buddhist ever because she's literally just in the moment. Like, she's meditating right,
right.
now. She's All just literally, time. Like, in the she's so in the moment. She's so present right now. Like, Bizu's the name of my cat, sorry. And he'd be like, she's so present right now. Yeah. She's amazing. Like, that's she's killing it. And I'd be like, you're so right. That's, oh, I want to, like, I want that to be a thing now in my life. I want, like, an hour a day where I'm just, like, I go baby mode.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why so many of people, in our, like, of my friends get high so often. It's because that's the, I think, aside from, like, years of meditation to get you there, I think the reason I have so many friends who smoke is because that gets you into baby mode. You know, when you're, because you just, you sit and you're, like,
wait,
I could just like
so
hold this book and, like, feel how it feels. And you know what I mean?
Just but slow to, down.
But to try to do that sober for just even like 30 minutes, just like, I don't know, eat a tangerine on the floor or something like that and just be like, I'm in this moment.
Right. Not thinking about anything else. Not like having so many weights on you. That is so true. That was, last night.
But so sorry, what's the well, yeah, that was, well, actually, yeah, what's really quick, what's the Ram Dass quote?
Oh yeah, so he had this lecture called Conscious Living, Conscious Dying. Mm. And I came upon it so randomly. That's a whole anything. Mm. So yeah, he talks about kind of relationships, and there's a big quote which I'm trying to incorporate in anything I can with school, because I just want to like dissect this quote. It's called, or it's basically, oh, it fits really well into our show, actually. It's relationships being the vehicle out of the illusion of separateness. Because we all have this illusion that we are all individuals, we're all like in our own world, and relationships are like that guide, like that, and relationships of any sort, that it's like, I'm here with you, we have common interest, we have common anything, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like we are in this together. And I think the more relationships that you have, like actual connections, the more you see that everyone is literally the same.
Yeah, right? I'm you, you are me. And
I think it's harder for some people than other people.
Yeah.
And we were going to like cultural things too. Like, I think there's a lot of certain cultural baggages that further separate people rather than like bring them together, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, that's what I'm writing a paper for my abnormal clinical psych class about, well, it's about sexual disorders and culture, of course, but I have to like define what culture is in order to make my points. And there is an interesting thing about, and this has been talked about a lot, but we cultures versus me cultures, right? So hyper-individualistic societies versus community-based societies. So America is a perfect example of an individualist society.
Would you say Europe is as well?
So I think by country, it depends, right? Okay. So Northern Europe, I would say, is, well, something like France would be like in the middle, I think, right? So like slightly less individualistic than America. Paris might as well be America, I think. Right. But if you get to like smaller towns,
and how are, like, I'm actually really interested in this, how are, like, how is that based?
So in community-based cultures, I mean, so the basis is individualistic cultures really value individual freedoms and liberties, autonomy, right? So individual autonomy, like I can do what I want.
Heavy on America.
Yeah, and heavy like valuing uniqueness, right? And whereas community-based is much more, yeah, so less, so your identity comes much less from your individuality, and it comes from what community you're in. Mm-hmm. So there's much more, you're more community-minded, and you care less about, like, individuality. So that's why I say with Europe it depends, because places like Northern Europe, like Sweden and Norway, because, I mean, they're very socialist countries pretty much, and they are very, they don't value uniqueness that much, right? So you don't really care that your house is bigger and better and brighter than the person next to you. In fact, you want your house to look the same. You don't really want to, you know, whereas in America, yeah, you want the biggest, brightest, craziest house, and you want it to be different than your neighbor or Barry's because you have the crazy house or whatever, right? So, and that's why I say France is kind of somewhere in the middle, because you don't necessarily want to stand out, but you also aren't necessarily living for a community necessarily.
Right.
I think Italy, for example, is very community-minded.
Yeah.
Japan, very community-minded. Yeah. So an example, I was born in Tokyo, and in Japan, you don't want to stand out in public, and it's mainly a respect thing. Like, you don't want to cause a scene, you don't want to bother other people in public. Whereas I think in America, there's much more of like a hear me, look at me thing.
So. Interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd honestly say there are dangers to both.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's a hot take, but I think balance, I think, is key in everything. But I guess I'm so used to America and American living that I just really wish people like saw each other more in that way. But even coming to France, which is really ironic that it's Paris, which is like, I don't know, the capital of so many different like expressive movements, you know, I feel me being a singular entity sometimes is like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel too loud in a weird way.
Mm. Explain that. What do you mean by too
like,
loud?
I guess it also depends where you stay in the city. Like, I first year was staying with a lot of like older people, and they're, I don't know, a lot more traditional, I guess, in that sense. But just in the way I express myself outwardly, I guess. I wouldn't say it was more of an issue than it has been in America at all. But just, I guess, when I think of the lacking of community here, it's more so like literal just like talking to strangers and just having a community. Like, I'm helping you down the stairs with when the, like, a lady has like a huge thing of stuff. Like, I don't know. Different mm-hmm. stuff like that. And I'm not saying like more or societies with a lot more community minded thinking would do that per se, but I think they would.
I think in general though, mm-hmm. there's that idea. Right. But I don't know if it's, yeah, that's interesting though, because I don't know if it's overall or just those who are in your community.
Right.
So and, I don't know. Right. How that, right. So like what, yeah, what is your community when you're in a city like Paris?
Right.
Is it your
right.
nuclear family? I don't fucking like that. So then, okay, it's my friend groups. Mm-hmm. But I personally, I don't have a friend group. I just have like 7 very close one-on-one people in my life. So I'm like, okay, those are my one-on-one people.
Yeah. And then it's, yeah.
It's all very interesting. So then I'm like, okay. And now I'm finding community in things like volunteering. But even then, it's almost more of like a work environment than at times. Mm-hmm. So it just, oh.
Yeah.
Kind of weird
that
things.
That is weird. That is very weird. And then it's like forming an identity through those things could be weird too. Because very it's weird. Like, I do this and this and this, so that makes me this person. Or I'm a part of this community or this cultural heritage, so I'm this person. Or, like, demographics are just weird in that way. And then I wonder where, like, ego comes within all of that, too. Like, this is kind of what... But, like, if you have more of an individual sort of mindset, is it, like, me, in the sense that I gotta, like, get myself to the top? Because I know that's huge in
America. Ambition. Like, what?
Yeah, but... And then work ethic. I don't know. I have, like, a lot of questions about the healthiness of any of that, I guess. Just like,
yeah, no, like, you know? Yeah, what are, I think about this, like, how are we meant to live, right? Because you always hear, okay, we're social creatures.
Right.
Like, I think, mind empty moment, but I think.
Yeah, me too. Or mind, gears turning move.
Gears turning move, that's much better, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think about this a lot, like, yeah, I think a lot of, I mean, balance in all things, and I think a lot of people are lost, and they're to one side or the other, mm-hmm. right? So, like, maybe the way I would put it is, so, yeah, you have, like, I think you have individual and community-minded cultures, and then what, you know, Far and I talked about on this show, you also have individualistic and community-minded, like, people,
mm-hmm.
and I think I've seen myself go from an individual person to a hyper individualistic person to like a hyper community focused person over the last like year and a half. And I think what I can say about like having experienced both is like, I mean, both in extremes are unhealthy, right? So like, to me, what comes to mind is like the hyper individualistic person, maybe too stubborn, too hardened in their ways, not open enough to other people. I think that's just not like good for you, right? Psychologically speaking, you need to be like, I don't know. I heard this somewhere, but your first bath is done by someone else, and your last bath is often done by someone else, right? Like
gotta rely on other people.
Yeah, eventually you have to rely on other people.
Right.
So when you're hyper individualistic, it's often like a fear of vulnerability. It's a fear of being seen. Cause again, as we've said, maybe you don't want to see yourself.
Right.
You know, And then I think when you're two on the other end, then that's maybe like love is ownership, where like you're putting yourself out there a lot, and you're, you know, I think of the like, I don't know, a very people pleasing, super like super nice person, but like they're, and I speak from this experience, they're being incredibly nice, but almost as a way to like, like, okay, are you pushing away people out of comfort, or are you like holding on to people too
like
tightly?
Be a part of
comfort?
That community.
And how do you like balance? I don't know if any of that made sense, but how can you be somewhere in the middle where like you are open, and as we keep saying, like you see other people and you allow yourself to be seen and you connect and you like sit in moments with people really openly and truly, but then you also like allow yourself to, you're not avoidant, but you also don't have like anxious attachment. Right. I don't know if that makes sense, if that's too far off.
No, I get it. I get that. Yeah, I think it obviously depends on where you live. And I think us being in this space right now, that it's college, which is its own like sort of intermediary to full autonomy. Because it's like, it's a weird space. I do think balance is important in that, though. It had me thinking of like me being Haitian, and that's like a whole, there's just a lot when of me like, this is gonna go into, okay, because I was speaking to my cousins like maybe a couple years ago, not weeks ago, a couple years ago.
We were talking about
kind of whether they feel more in tune with being Black in America or being Haitian in America, and that being different. And they were like, yeah, I'm Haitian, because it's like there's a whole part of our culture that is very particular to being Haitian, I guess. And then it's like a subsector of like the religion that they're also in, that is also like takes up a lot of their sort of their everyday activities. Like they are with people that are part of three or four of the same types of culture as them through different means, you know?
Mm.
And like having subsets of like identity is really interesting when you step out of that and have no one in that.
Mm.
And like, who are you? So I guess I was like hyper community. Like looking back, everything that I did was like for a community of this subsection or this subsection. But then I went to a school that like I was one of one. And so that was very like from the jump, it was like a different play on that. And then I came to France and I was like, whoa, like one of like, what is this? Because I didn't even have like, I think there's this is a whole separate thing, but being like Black in America, that's like its own, I've spoken to a lot of Black Americans about this, kind of just like its own subconscious layer of, I don't even know what to say, like a layer of identity. Like it is like from the jump, from birth, like that is part of you. And it's a part of everyone, but it means something differently, I think, in America. And so leaving that, and that not even being like a comfort, like I am at least a part of this identity, this community, because there's people from all over with the same skin color. That changed. So then I think I did the opposite of you. Like I was hyper, hyper, hyper community centered. And then it was like hyper individual, like not even in my own doing, though, just like.
Because your setting changed.
Right. And like that threw me for like a whirlwind for sure, without even me like pinpointing. I feel like now is the time that I've actually like, I went through therapy and shit, and I like didn't, sorry, not shit. Therapy is very important. Seriously.
We approve therapy on the pod. Yeah.
But yeah, the whole time I was like, yeah, I'm just homesick. But but it was so much deeper than that. It was like, I don't know where I fit, because for so long I've been so community based, and it's like, I need familiarity. And I think now I'm at a point where it's like, I find it in individual connections I have with people, but it's a very different form.
Very different.
Finding yourself, like completely different form. 'Cause it's like, I have nothing to rely on in that way. Like, I think it was always like a comfort thing. And I think part of it could have stemmed from fear, or just like I, being so individual has its own sort of vulnerability, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because everything's on you. Not where you come from, not like who your parents are, not, you know what I mean? So yeah, that was, I think, navigating through that now, and I guess both of us being in that space where it's like we've been through both.
Both extremes.
Right.
Yeah.
I think you could see the importance in balance and the importance in, like, it's really cool to have people. Like, I feel like when you meet people that, like, has certain interests, it's like, oh, my gosh. Like, things that, like, are what you would consider core or, like, fundamentals. That's really cool. But not relying on that in forming connections with people is also crucial, because people, or I guess depending on where you live, if you get out of that bubble, it's wild out here. This is AUP Radio on WRP. You are listening to World of Intimacy. Stay tuned after this break. Like some patronized youth with germs. Riddle till I learn your walks, talks, thoughts, conditional terms. See, understand it's a struggle, but money ain't the only thing that you can gain till you got that swing. Allow me to lean while you kiss my ring. What it is to be jocking this game. A lot of different types of people.
I feel that all the time in Paris. I feel like I've lived 80,000 different lives.
Yeah.
Just walking around the city. But that's another story.
Yeah.
No, that's so true. That makes me think that it's a balance, right? Because I think that's the amazing thing about connections, is you'll find different things in different people, mm-hmm. and you'll be able to connect on different things. So like, you and I have an amazing connection, but I'll never know what it's like to be a Black American. I'll never know what it's like to be Black. And there's that thing that's not there, but mm-hmm. there's other things, but it's different, right?
And so, I don't know, the more things go on, I'm like, we're all nodes for, like, seriously. And mm-hmm. like, you connect on such, like, I feel like ours is, like, it's an abstract thing. It's not even, like, a particular, like, I think sometimes you need people that you connect to on, like, a identity, like, physical. Like, we navigate through the world in a very, like, through the face of, through our physical features.
Right.
We have this sort of connection. Like, I love going to the Haitian restaurant just because it's, like, yes, you know, like, the food and, like, the music that plays, and like, it just, I've never even been to Haiti, but it's like, I feel something there, you know?
Yeah.
Without even talking to the people there. And that's itself a comfort. But then I think the more you get into yourself and like who you really are, I think, cause like, this goes back, I think some of us kind of identify with our physical features only, and, or with certain past events, past experiences that we say have made us. And maybe they have. And I'm not, like, I think they probably have. But I think there's a point where I think it's possible for you to find a certain core something. This is, like, my inquiry right now. It's like, what is that thing?
What's the core of Corey?
Right, or of any of us that I think it's like it's able to, because I think now at this moment it's you're able to connect with anyone on the planet. Like any living thing is possible to connect with. Like a plant outside is, if it's living, you're able to do that. And so I think that is what the core is, honestly.
Yeah.
But I think we're all very wrapped up in this form. And sometimes it helps, but a lot of the time, I think it's limiting.
I think that's so wise. I think, to me, it brings me back to, well, kind of what we started on the beginning, but also just this idea of balance, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think, and you've already touched on this, I think you need both, perhaps, and just a mix of all of it, right? Because, like, and this gets into the weird thing of, like, when you view yourself as, like, yeah, when you reach, like, a certain level of higher consciousness, maybe. I'm not there. But, you know, maybe getting there, starting a little journey of some kind. And we're realizing that I'm, like, beyond this, just this body. And I'm beyond Isabel. And I feel like I'm everything. I'm the leaves. And I'm everything. But at the same time, I'm still, like, Isabel. You know?
Right.
No, and so I think having both, right? So, like, I have, like, again, as you said, like, sometimes we don't even put ourselves in that place, and society puts us in that place.
Right.
And so then that's and why that, you're like, okay, then I maybe will want people who also get this.
Yeah.
So that we can talk about it and, like, be like, wow. Right?
Yeah.
So, like, there's sometimes when, yeah, there's been times where I, like, had a certain experience, and there was a time in my life where I was only friends with straight people, and I was kind of like, you know, and that has made me realize, like, oh, you know what I mean? There are so many times where me as a white person, I think I can't be there for my friends of color in that specific sense because I haven't been through that, which, and it's like, that's like the human lived physical experience that we are not all the same in, technically.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other things where I think I connect on other things that are beyond any of that. And I can obviously be friends with, and I am friends with so many straight people who don't have that exact same specific circumstance. And but I'm not, you know, but it's different. And so I having all of that and having people who understand my cultural background and, like, get it is amazing. You know, I had this conversation with this trans woman who's from a small town in Italy that's just next to the one that I'm from. That was amazing. I felt so seen, right? That's a visibility and a common understanding that couldn't come. I couldn't have with just about anyone.
Right.
But as you said, I also want to hold the baseline belief that I can connect with everything and everyone. That's, you know, because it's just not, maybe the difference between, what is it? Sympathy and empathy. I never know which one.
Empathy is with that person. Sympathy is for.
Exactly. You know? Right. So it's like, I can, like, and that comes back to the listening thing that I'm learning at SOS. It's like learning to really listen. And so there's moments where someone will be like, yep, lived that too. Wow, we see each other in that sense. And there's times where I was like, wow, I don't know what it's like to be, there's more things that I don't know what it's like to be than there are things that I do know what it's like to be. And so I think all I want to do is, like, listen to all of the other stuff.
Yes. Well, yes. That note has just... I think we could connect on pain and love. And I think our physical features are a big connection of pain. That's a, I don't want to say hot take anymore, but it's like, let me develop this. This is a new thought. Being a human can be painful. And I think we all have gone through so much. Honestly, all of us, every single individual. I think some people at a mass scale have been through a lot, and, like, there's historical. We know this. We all know this. And I think to have an understanding of that through other people, there's a love there, but a weird sort of, it's pain, I think. Or what's, I don't know if pain is the word, but pain likes to see pain, I think. And we like to see each other if we're able to experience that in a very specific and intimate way. And then I think love doesn't see the physical. And I think there are certain things that are able to be transcended through that. There's a lot of factors in all of that. But I think that is where that difference is made for me personally. I think there's a balance, obviously. And I think we all experience either or both. I mean, I think we all experience pain. We all experience pleasure, I guess. But I would like to say love. I don't really. Pleasure is also bodily.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like I always bring this outside of the body, this fleshy realm that I hate. I'm sorry, guys.
I'm silent laughing right now. That's amazing. I had that moment in the shower the other day where I was just like, get me out.
Why do I see that?
I was like looking at my body and I was like, let me out. And I was like, that was really I don't know if you know, there's this TikTok sound that's like, and we cannot come out, mama. It's really stupid.
What?
It's like the third time I've bombed with that, because I guess I'm just, but it's, yes.
Yeah.
You always bring it back to this fleshy, this flesh prison.
Yeah, no, ooh. Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. Like, I know you're tired of me.
Do not apologize.
You're right. I'm not because I'm right.
Because I'm let kidding. Corey,
let me say my truth, guys.
Speak your
I'm
truth.
I'm just trying to talk. Listen to me.
Everyone, listen, please.
Yeah. So yeah, guys, exit out your bodies and come into love.
That was beautiful. Yeah, yeah. Exit. But and I think like, oh, this is I think a lot of what I've been talking about too. Like lately is like, I think. Honor your pain, sit with it a little bit, sit in it until it passes through you, and then move towards love. Don't run away from it completely, because then it will always be following and you'll never stop running.
Exactly.
And it's not as scary as you think, so
exactly.
Turn around and like hug it and sit in it for a little bit.
Understand it. Understand
but
your pain.
Don't sit in it forever.
Yeah.
Because then you'll never.
It becomes you.
And it becomes you.
Your trauma.
It's like this, like, water person. Okay. Imagine, like, a person made of water.
Yeah.
And that's the pain. And again, if you're running and then he's running after you and you will die. You will have a heart attack if you're running forever through whatever vehicle you're running in.
Because we all have it.
We all have
it. And it's okay to have pain.
TV. Never ever like thinking about, you know, everyone has their ways of running.
Right.
Sometimes it's not even. Yeah, it's just distractions or whatever. So I would say turn around and embrace it.
Yeah.
But yeah, as you said, don't let it become you. Don't let it.
Yeah. I think.
Yeah.
Because last night I was going through my own, like, literally recovering of random traumas that came up. And I was like, wow, I understand this through a completely different light now, because I was able to sit with this and, like, not rationalize it, but just, like, see it for what it was. And I think a lot of the time, like, with our pain, we try to, like, oh, no, that meant that. Or, like, oh, and that's a way of running from it. But, like, to be sorry for something that happened is okay. And to be, like, humble in that moment. 'Cause, yeah, I say all these things, but it's only because I go through them, like, constantly. Like, my brain is, like, always on fire. So yeah, I mean, yeah, if you want to work on yourself, it will work like the universe will work with you if you work with you.
Ooh,
always.
Yeah,
you
absolutely
know?
Absolutely,
like, always,
absolutely. And you know, our brain, I mean, all of our, like, our brains are on fire, but as long as we're I don't know what I was gonna say, but it's gonna be like, as long as we're aware of it.
Just but look at it, look at, like, the look fiery at
look at it. Like the scene in Narnia where she, like, looks in the fire. I always think about that scene.
I need to rewatch that.
It's cool. I mean, it's I think it's based on the Bible. It's really interesting.
Oh, what?
It's like beautiful. Yeah, I think the lion is Jesus.
Is that the one where they go through the doors?
Yeah. I think
I used to really like that.
It's so good. I was in a play.
It was beautiful. So was I.
What did you play?
Whoa. I don't remember. Wait, let me think. I was like
I was the ice queen. Not to brag.
What?
Or anything. Yeah.
Wait, you're fired.
Yeah, yeah. That's right? So no, actually, I'm ice queen.
Your ice? Oh, my God. Ooh. Yeah. Wait, I was probably like a nymph.
No, honestly. Yeah, I see that. I see that. For sure. You're like that.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's so weird, right? It's because we can have all this whole discussion and be like, and be so aware of this, and then we're still going to be brain on fire. We will all end up there from time to time. But
it's a journey.
Yeah.
Ups and downs.
Yeah.
For literally all of us.
Any last words? Any last?
I love you guys.
Mm. Oh, I love you too, well, thank you so much for listening today. I hope you enjoyed our lovely little ramblings. As Corey said, if you can step out of your body a little bit and into love, I think that's what you said. I really liked that. And just, yeah, try to see someone. And then hopefully that will lead to you being seen. That is all. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Bye, guys. Feels like that warm summer night, like when everything was going right. It's a beautiful love song, haunting your mind forever.
You are listening to WRP.